Proverbs 27:1. Don't boast about tomorrow, for you don't know what a day might bring. Psalm 39, verses 4 through 6. Lord, make me aware of my end and the number of my days, so that I will know how short-lived I am. In fact, you have made my days just inches long, and my lifespan is as nothing to you. Yes, every human being stands as only a vapor, Selah. Yes, a person goes about like a mere shadow. Indeed, they rush around in vain, gathering possessions without knowing who will get them. This has been on my mind for quite a bit, and it's kind of ironic that I switched to this week, and then I found out this is fall forward last night. So for some of you, you are cherishing the extra hour of sleep. If you're like me, you probably stayed up longer than you needed to because you took for granted the fact that you gained an hour, so it didn't mean anything. For some, you look forward to this time because you are vampires and you like the dark, and so you'll get more of it. More depressing than getting off work and driving home in the dark, is it? For me, at least. But so as you probably know, or some of you don't know, because I'm not here much, this has been a busy time of my year for travel, and it seems like since September I have been gone an awful lot. But why this has been on my heart a lot lately is that in that time span I've been gone, the importance of making time became relevant to me. When I took for granted time, when I realized that one of my best friends got sick and passed on. And you know, it's something that we take for granted, isn't it? It's time. We think, oh, I'll get to it later. And in that whirlwind of time where John got sick and left, I said, well, I'll tell him how much I love him because there's always time. The day he passed, I was filled with a deep pain because I never got a chance to tell him I loved him because of time, because I was busy. And not saying that I filled my time doing nothing, but I was busy. And I remember that Sunday morning, I woke up and Kristen had urged me, and finally I texted Mr. Edmonds and said, do you mind if I record a message that you could play to John? I made it to Old Hickory Boulevard at Old Time Pottery, and I pulled into that parking lot and I recorded a message. And I said, nah, I sound like an idiot. I was crying. So I re-recorded it. I hit send. The moment I hit send was the moment a text came back from Mr. Edmonds that my best friend, one of my best friends, was gone. Time and making, the importance of making time is where I want to focus today. Because John changed his mindset that said, you know what? Don't let time pass you by in spending time where it matters. I recently, last weekend, helped the Hayes move, and it brought back memories because where the Hayes now live is a part of Goodlettsville that back in time I spent a lot of time not far from. Blake lived at his parents' house. Hayes lived at his parents' house. Melissa lived back in that area, and that area brought back memories, which I haven't been over in that area in a long time. And then as I left there, I actually was back over there the other day, and I drove by Moss Wright Park. And time there was spent. How many countless hours of softball games? Field 5, Field 2. Field 5 was a long, long time ago. Field 2 is more modern. Down that road, which I think it's called, well, I sped through it some of the time. I never read. I know you don't speed too much. But the fireworks stand was on that road. And so it's just been like for the last couple of months, this whole thing about what is important to me. And am I investing my time in it? Sadly enough to say, I've been gone so much that my cousin has a beard. And I didn't know that. I have not seen him since I think it was nice and sunny outside. And it was warm. Because I think it was like in the summer when I last saw you. So, greetings. I don't know if that's an indictment on you for not coming when I'm here or an indictment that I'm never here. Well, leave it as I'm gone, Eric. But you know, What do we find important in we make time for. I want to share some quotes with you, and then we're going to go back, and we're actually going to look at two stories, because all the way since camp, instead of the whole theme in my mind of following to be the greatest, you got to follow the greatest. Obviously, to be the greatest, we need to follow Christ, has been really stuck in my head, and we're going to get to something along that line. But listen to these quotes I found on Google. And they're powerful, but listen to these. Lost time is never found again. Benjamin Franklin. Time is the most valuable thing a man can spend. Theo something. I don't know how to say his last name. Some wise dude, I'm sure, somewhere in time. The key is in not spending time, but investing in it. Stephen Covey. Time is free, but it's priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. Once you've lost it, you can never get it back. Harvey McKay. There's only one thing more precious than our time, and that's who we spend it on. Leo Christopher. The way we spend our time defines who we are. Jonathan Estrin. I probably would have not thought anything of this about the importance of time if it wouldn't have been for the fact that in a matter of mere seconds in my mind, I said, you know what? John will be out of the hospital, and I'll be able to tell him how I feel. I can remember having a conversation the day that he went to the doctor and said, I think it's back. I don't know, but I'm in the hospital. They're going to run some tests. And I thought, I'll talk to you in a couple of days. I remember thinking, oh, he'll get out of the hospital, and I can go talk to him. I remember saying, oh, well, and I just kept putting time off. And it really struck with me that I take for granted time. I think, oh, I'll get to it later. And since then, I want to fill my time with what is meaningful. So that when I look back, I can have those memories of where I spent my time. We laugh about Field 2 and Field 5 of Moss Wright Park, and it was softball. But it was so much more than softball, was it not? We were a family. We spent our time together every Friday night. There we were. Whether it was a fireworks stand. Yeah, that was not the greatest work. I don't know why I did that, actually. Pay was really bad. It was hot, and I got poison ivy. So I don't know why I spent my time there. Rejects, yes. Yes, rejects. You know, yes, you invested wisely in your resources. But we look at time. It flooded back when Hayes moved over to that area. I was like, man, Sunday afternoons going over to Blake's house. I'll never forget this. I was in some clothes like this, and I didn't have a change of clothes because I just wanted to go spend time with Blake. And we're at his house on a Sunday afternoon. We had to come back for Sunday night church, which I was like, oh, man, church. And I remember hopping over the fence, and I stepped in a cow patty. And it covered up my shoe into my pants. I'm like, I can't go to church like that. Well, I was stuck. I had no change of clothes. But it's where I spent time. And I don't even remember what we do. I remember stepping in cow patties, obviously. But it was the importance of where I invested my time. And now, Chris and I always talk about our time together and how our schedules are now more aligned. She doesn't work at night, but now I'm gone all the time. And so just the importance of time together and how we make of it. So I don't have to turn there, but Luke 10, there's the parable of the Good Samaritan. And I'm not going to break that down for an analysis of what that parable means. So just for a moment, just listen to it from my understanding of how I read it sometime. Two weeks ago, I was in Delaware, and I brought this up. And as this person was telling the story to a bunch of teens, in my mind, I always find myself reading it like this. And I find myself seeing it on a drive to work every single day. I'm not in here to determine so don't take this as like, well, that's not what this is saying. But the first two people that passed that guy by, and I know there was reasons, you know, there's probably cultural reasons and all that. But you know what I see it as? They didn't have time to stop and help. Now, that might not be the reason, that might not be. So don't take this and be like, well, you're wrong, Sean. But the Good Samaritan, here these guys are going down the road, see somebody in need, And for whatever reason, they don't stop. And I picture myself as, Sean, you're going down the road. You've got somewhere to be. You don't have to stop and help. To stop and simply ask, are you okay? And every time somebody reads that passage, it strikes me. But then what do? Guess what? I'm going to get in my car tomorrow morning, and we live in Nashville, Tennessee. And if you drive to work, I guarantee you somebody's going to be wrecked tomorrow. Are they not? Somebody's going to break down with their flashers on the red light on Gallatin Road, and I'm going to be delayed. And I'm like, man, it makes me think about poor Tim's sad illustration about his time of what we talked about last week, where he was in such an impatience, found out it was a funeral procession. I've been there with you, brother. I've been there. I've been there and still upset when the funeral procession went by. How many cars do you have? My funeral procession, you won't have to worry about a traffic jam. It'd be like one car, so don't worry about it. But we get so caught. I get more stressed in the car spending time. I literally calculate, what time do I need to leave so I spend less time in my car to get to the place it is, because we're always trying to get to point A and point B, that we don't stop and think about what's important. So let's take this back to Jesus. Jesus' purpose on this earth was to do his Father's business, right? He came and he spent that short amount of time that he lived on this earth to do his Father's business. So Jesus gives us the example of what making the most of our time. So we're going to actually read a chapter in the Bible. In this chapter, you're going to be like, man, turn to Matthew chapter 14. We're going to let God's word speak, but think about this in the perspective of Jesus, his time, and what's most important to him. Because this is one of the most power-packed time frames I think I've ever seen for somebody, and I'm just like, whoa. And the reason I found this, actually, I'll highlight that when we get there. But Matthew chapter 14, so it's going to take us a little bit, but let's just read this. At the time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the report about Jesus. This is John the Baptist, he told his servants. He has been raised from the dead, and that's why miraculous powers are at work in him. For Herod had arrested John, chained him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. Since John had been telling him, it's not lawful for you to have her. Though Herod wanted to kill John, he feared the crowd since they regarded John as a prophet. When Herod's birthday celebration came, Herodias' daughter danced before them and pleased Herod. So he promised with an oath to give her whatever she asked. Prompted by her mother, she answered, "Give me John the Baptist's head here on a platter." Although the king regretted it, he commanded that it be granted because of his oaths and his guests. So he sent orders and had John beheaded in the prison. His head was brought on a platter to the girl, who carried it to her mother. Then his disciples came, removed the corpse, buried it, and went and reported to Jesus. Now you stop and you think for a second. There is a lot going on here. Jesus has just lost somebody very special to him. Now that doesn't stop right there. Let's pick up, and if you're having your subheadings, you're going to know exactly where we're going. When Jesus heard about it in verse 13, he withdrew from there by boat to a remote place to be alone. Jesus said, I just need some time. When the crowds heard this, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a large crowd, had compassion on them, and healed their sick. Now pause for a second, because we're still waiting on what the subheading says there is feeding of the 5,000. Jesus is trying to get away. He's trying to decompress. He's trying to just let sink in what has just happened. And he sees these people and he stops and he has compassion on them. He heals their sick. It says, when evening came, the disciples approached him and said, this place is deserted and it is already late. Send the crowds away so that they can go into the villages and buy food for themselves. They don't need to go away, Jesus told them. You gave them something to eat. Or you give them something to eat. But we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish here, they said to him. Bring them here to me, he said. Then he commanded the crowds to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them. He broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. Everyone ate and was satisfied. they picked up 12 baskets full of leftover pieces. Now, those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Wow, a lot going on in that time span. Wow, end of subsection, skip forward, fast forward, it's another day, right? But look what it says in verse 22. Another subheading in your Bible probably puts up another famous story of Jesus. Immediately, the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of them to the other side. Why? Dismiss the crowds. After dismissing the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Well into the night, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat was already some distance from land, battered by the waves, because the wind was against them. Jesus came toward them, walking on the sea very early in the morning. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. Immediately, Jesus spoke to them, "Have courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter answered him, "command me to come out on the water." He said, "Come." And climbing out of the boat, Peter started walking on water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the strength of the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand, caught hold of him, and said to him, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those in the boat worshipped him and said, "Truly, you are Son of God." Chapter's not over. Time's not done. When they had crossed over, they came to the shore at Gennesaret. When the men of the place recognized him, they alerted the whole vicinity and brought to him all who were sick. They begged him that they might only touch the end of his robe, as many touched it were healed. Chapter 14 of Matthew, to me, is like, whoa. I was just reading that, and I'm thinking, man, I think I'm busy sometimes, but wow. But Jesus had a purpose. He had a plan. He had what was important to him, and he made time for it because that's what he was about. Sometimes we get caught up in life, and we go, but we're going in the wrong direction because we're not making time what's most important to us. We're not valuing that time. You know, I've learned quickly that tomorrow is not guaranteed. I really struggle with the Tennessee death boards. I haven't seen them in a while, but I used to really struggle because there's one on Interstate 40 as you're getting up toward Briley Parkway coming out of Nashville, and it'd be like, this many people have died on the highways. And every time I see that sign, I stop and I think to myself, wow, for that person, life ended. I don't know who they were. I don't know their age. But for that moment, I turn on the news and I see something of a tragedy and I think, wow. And I think, you know what? That would never happen to me. Then I stop and think, I'm often in the car. I'm often in a plane. What could happen? I don't know. And then I stop and I think, do I value the time that I have? Am I taking advantage of the time that I've had? And then I look and I say, well, you know, I'm busy, so I need to just take a time to rest. I don't want to do anything because I'm busy. I'm tired. And then I look at Jesus, and Jesus knew what he wanted. Jesus knew what his purpose was. And even though he wanted to stop and rest, he kept on because he knew what was important. And so then I go back and I say, Sean, if you want to be the greatest, you got to follow the greatest. If I want to be like Christ, then I need to truly be like Christ. And it really sets into tone. So my encouragement is this. Do you value time? Is it your greatest investment? Or do you just waste it and just say, oh, I've got plenty of it, and it's abundant, and not care and take it for granted? Or do you truly stop and you say, you know what? I'm not guaranteed tomorrow, but I better guarantee today that I make the most of what I've got. So don't get yourself in a situation where you have, like I felt for the longest time, the regret of not telling somebody you love them. Don't take for granted that opportunity to sit there and spend time with somebody or make time. Because I'm going to tell you what, we're all busy, and we probably already have mapped out our whole week. Some moms in here probably have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And if you're like the sins. I don't know how they do time because it's like Casey's over here at this play. Well, this is now they're all getting older. Time. They're about all out of high school and you still don't have time. I don't understand your family. But it used to be like, oh, well, Courtney's got a basketball game here. Kelsey's got something going on over here. Casey's got to dress up in 15 costumes over here. And so how do you balance time? But that's been my greatest example is seeing how you've always put family first. And they're like, oh, we got to go to the middle of nowhere, Tennessee, and sing for hours in this cabin. And I'm like, well, that doesn't sound fun. But you make time. And so don't let yourself take for granted time. Those you love, spend time with them. I'm on a mission now to spend more time with the friends that I don't see as much. You know, I talk about the Hayes moving. I sometimes don't see Hayes for weeks. He's one of my best friends. You know, we've got to take advantage of what we got because we're not guaranteed. And we don't want to live with regret, the regret that we didn't. So Jesus shows us we can do it. And he also shows us what's important. But you know, ultimately Jesus had a purpose, and that was to do his Father's business. I think in that time frame, though, what is valuable to you hopefully steps in line with what God says is valuable for you. And are you investing your time to grow you closer to God? See, I feel it's all one big thing because when we spend time together as a family, and our family of circle of friends all believes in God, it's strengthening us and it's building us up. And that's what I think is so powerful about this family in here, is that we all want to spend time together. And sometimes we do stuff that's weird, like Jared's game. I'm not going to go down that road of what I think about Jared's mind. But we come together, we spend time. Sometimes we come together and we work in this building and we fill up a dumpster. And I don't do that because I strategically make sure I have a walk for water on work days here just kidding. Not kidding. Sometimes we spend time together and we don't realize that that's the most important. So, simple lesson this morning, but it's powerful to me because just a few months ago, time hit me in the face and said, it's not abundant for you, Sean. Use it wisely. And then, as I've been looking at Jesus this whole time, and I'm looking at this passage, and I'm pulling out, Jesus feeds the 5,000. Jesus walks on water. I actually read the verse above Jesus feeding the 5,000. I see that his cousin has died. He's got a lot going on. He's tired. And what does he do? Continues to do his Father's business. That, to me, was powerful. Jesus knew the importance of time. So, one last quote that I read earlier, and then we will close out. The way we spend our time defines who we are. Will people know who you are when they look at where you spend your time? Do they know you love the Lord because your time invested in it shows? Or will they say, you just say that, but you spend your time elsewhere? Will people know you love your family by the time you spend? Or will they know you because you say you spend time with family, but it's not evident? Our proof is where we put our time. So where is your investment? Have you said, I love you to the person you care about that you haven't seen in a while? Have you stopped and just said, God, thank you for what you've given to me? Have you stopped and paused and asked that question that we asked in class? Why do you love God? The first person that opened their mouth was me, and then I had to answer the question this morning in class. Thanks, Kyle. I should call you and answer a question of depth. And I simply said, because he loved me. And I said, I'm sorry, that's a simple answer, but it's so much longer. But I can say that, but does my time spent reflect that? Value your time. Whatever you have on your minds, we'd love to share in that. If you have prayer requests, we'd love to pray over you. If you have things to rejoice, we'd love to rejoice. If you want anything, that opportunity is now, but together we're going to stand and sing. Matt.